Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products.
Get a free audiobook of your choice at audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast.
This week on Out Now with Aaron and Abe, we're talking the 5th annual Summer Movie Gamble.
There's all kinds of movies we're betting on. Dory, Civil, Suicides, Independence, whatever!
Wait a minute, I forgot my introduction!
We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe, hi! Hello.
Out Now is a film podcast where Abe and I normally discuss new movies weekly. However, every now and then we like to have these special bonus episodes, whether it's one of our fun commentaries or something completely different. And now it's time for something completely different. But familiar. Yeah, this is a big one. Some people like the other shows. Some people like the top 10 shows. We've grown to like the director spotlights and our October shows quite a bit. And there's, you know, other times that are just fun to do, because why not? Last week was a ton of fun. But this week, it is, again, time to predict some summer movies. It is the 5th annual Summer Movie Gamble. The 5th one, eh? We've been doing this a while now.
I feel like we've been doing it for decades, but I guess it's only half a decade.
Yeah, five years. That seems pretty specific when I say 5th annual
Summer Movie
Gamble.
If we had a kid, that kid would be able to go to kindergarten by now.
That's exactly what I've never said. Yeah, this is where we discuss the movies that we think are going to be the top 10 highest grossing films domestically of the summer. Summer beginning with what I refer to as summer movie season, which starts with Captain America Civil War in the beginning of May and ends right before Labor Day. So I'm going to explain all the rules in a second. Let me introduce the guests here who are here to join us for this 5th annual Summer Movie Gamble. We have, from Fast Film Reviews, Mark Hoven.
Hi, everyone.
From The Young Folks, Jose Cordova.
What up?
And from Why So Blue and the Cult Cinema Cavalcade podcast, Mr. Brendan Peters.
First time on, 5th time you guys doing it. Awesome.
Yep. You've joined the fray.
You did it. You made it.
I've been initiated. No more hazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you get those checks.
This is my 5th time on, so I'm honored to be here.
You are. This is your 5th time on.
That's only better than a turkey.
I believe you and one other guest who's not on this podcast have been on all 5 times so far. And I'm going to read. So
you guys emailed Mark his certificate, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Exactly, yeah. he's got his 5 timers club jacket.
It's but, purple.
But yeah, not joining us, we have Peter Paris, Scott Mendelson, friend of the shows, of course, and Maxwell Haddad and Alan Aguilera. We also normally have Adam and Jordan on here, but they cannot apparently participate
this year,
which is a shame. But I already have the list from Peter, Scott, and Maxwell, and I'll get to those soon enough. But yeah, you guys are all here, and Alan is the other five timer.
Alan Aguilar,
as far as summer movie gambles go. But yeah, no, happy to have all of you on. Brandon, happy to have you on for the first time for this. Jose, happy
I'm
to
so
have
excited.
You. Jose, happy to have you back for this.
I don't think I've ever been on a beginning of summer one, but I've done a wrap up.
Yes, you have, and you've certainly you've been in the last.
And I've
His picks were accurate too. It was crazy, right?
I had some good ones last year. I was
good,
late
yeah.
though.
Yeah, you got some penalties for being late, which is a shame because you did quite good.
Yeah,
both years, I believe. Yeah, like the last 2 years, I think actually there were problems.
And the 1 year I'm on time, I think it's going to go horrible.
We'll see about that. But yeah, and Mark, of course, good to have you again for the 5th time for being with us from the beginning for the Summer Movie Gambles.
Yeah, I really look forward to this show. So
this is a fun one for sure.
I'm interested to hear what you guys picked.
It's certainly a some of the years that we've been doing this, it seems at least some of them seem more predictable than others as far as at least the number one. That's never been exactly the case, but that's kind of been a general through line for some of these. This year seems pretty up in the air.
I feel like every year we think number one is obvious, and then it almost never is.
See, I don't think this number one's obvious this year, honestly. This is the one I was flip-flopping the most on the number one this time around.
You flip-flopper.
Right. Yeah, I've got like 4 that I could see being number one, but they're in random spots.
See 2 that could most likely take it. Then yeah, there's like 1 that I think could be like well, that did better than I thought. And then there's like 1 where I'm like, oh, this could have been like ginormous. Like this could be like the Guardians of the summer, where you're just like, oh, it's the biggest thing ever. But we'll get to all that. Let's see, what else do we? So we're gonna jump right into the summer gamble. But first off, let's do some quick show notes stuff. Basically, it's just iTunes reviews ratings. You know, we're on iTunes. You can find our show on iTunes. You're probably listening to us on iTunes right now. Hi, iTunes, if they're listening.
Hi.
Yeah. What's great about iTunes is that you can find lots of podcasts, including ours. And what's even greater about iTunes is that it's a heavy competition to the death between podcasts. So why not help us out in that heavy competition by giving us a star rating and a review? You pump us up on the iTunes charts. We get stronger, faster, tougher. So, very simple. Very simple. You search iTunes, write out and then N, because our show's that good where you don't even have to write now. You can just write out and N, and suddenly you'll be like, what? There's out now, out there, and a name right there. You click that show, you go to the review section, you had a star rating. That's like four clicks.
Preferably a five-star rating.
But yeah, five-star rating would be great. But, you know, whatever rating you put on there, yes, we're going to see it.
We'll respect it.
But so just out naked needs to pick up the pace.
Yeah, yeah. just to recap so far, you've typed in four letters on a keyboard and a space, and then you clicked the thing, then you clicked another thing, and you clicked another thing. That took me less time to say it than it would take you to do it. I think I said that backwards, but you get what I'm saying. It's very easy to do. then maybe if you want to, you're right, because you're having so much fun with how little time that took, you write a review. Like, it doesn't even have to be a review. It could be an equation. It could be a recipe. It could be a, hi, Abe. Like, any of those things are great.
It could be the iTunes Terms of Service. It could be anything.
Yeah, copy and paste the iTunes Terms of Service as a review just to see how that would go. Any of those things would be great, though, and it would help out our show tremendously.
Thank you in advance.
Okay. Now that silliness is out of the way, let's get to the summer movie gamble. So here's how this thing works. Every year that we've done this so far, and this is a thing you can find online. It's fairly popular, but we like doing it on this show because we like, you know, waging, as much as we like waging battles on iTunes, we like waging battles on this podcast as well. And so we're going to do that right now. All of us here and the people that are also participating but they aren't on the show, we've all assembled a list of 10 picks that we think are going to be the highest grossing films of the summer domestically. We also have three dark horse picks. So what happens is, so we have all these laid out and in a specific order, what we think are going to be the highest performing films. And at the end of the summer, around Labor Day, we're going to tally up the actual results. There's a point system involved where if you get like the number one slot and the number 10 slot correct, you get 13 points. And if you get other picks dead on, you get a certain number of points. If you get certain picks that are like one away from where they actually wound up, you get a certain number of points, and on so on and on, forth like that. There's also dark horse picks. These are not necessarily what we think are going to be 11 through 13. These are picks that we think, well, if one of our top 10 didn't end up making it into the top 10, one of these three dark horse picks is what we thought would likely be the film that maybe did actually make it into the top 10. So if that makes sense to you, good. Because
I'm all
saying
nervous now. I don't understand.
Shut up.
I've only done it for 5 years, but I'm kind of nervous.
But yeah, so we've all carefully selected films that we think are going to be huge hits this summer. That's the thing to take away. There's like a complicated grading rubric, but you'll worry about that in like 3 months when it really matters. Right now,
it's like any final exam. You'll worry about it for, you know, the day before.
Exactly. That's exactly the point. So, okay. Here's how we're going to do this. I'm basically going to call out a name of somebody on this show, and they're going to read through their entire list. All the rest of you guys that are also on the show, feel free to guffaw, laugh, shock, bristle, chortle. Any reaction you feel is appropriate for any kind of list that the
I'm only going to boost up our panelists. I'm going to clap and applaud them.
Those are great things, too. I would have named onomatopoeias if I wanted to, too. Just, you know, feel free to bam, power, whiff your way through this. Just, you know, go for it. And then after we've all read through our list without any sudden commentary or anything, then we'll discuss all the things that we've done, the choices that we made and whatnot. Okay? Sound good? Everybody on board with this?
Mm-hmm. Let's do it. Okay.
I will start off by saying, just like I know Mark, you were implying, and others, this is a tough year, I think. This is kind of a tough year. I had a lot of trouble myself putting this together. I was consulting with my lovely girlfriend Anna about how to do this whole thing. It was fun to actually bounce ideas off with her because that made it a little less stressful for this very fun competition we do for that's awarding no money or anything of value. So, okay, let's get into this.
I started bouncing ideas off of different people, and they were like, "Oh, that sounds good." And then I would say, "Well, what about this?" "Well, that sounds good too."
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna say, so, I think
no,
the...
there were no.
The ultimate thing that always reminds me that there is no exact science to this is that Scott doesn't win every year.
Yeah.
Being that he spends, you know, the entire year tracking box offices and he can't even predict it.
People pay him to do it.
Yes.
Wrong.
Exactly. So
the weatherman of movies.
Yeah.
You're correct. Scott does not win these. So let's start this one off. Let's, Brandon, I want you to start this year. It's your first year. I'm going to have go first. So why don't you read, go through your dark horses, then your 10 through 1.
Okay. My dark horses, I have Ice Age Collision Course, The Secret Lives of Pets.
Whoa.
And Popstar.
Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Never Stop, Stop. Stop.
Never Stop, Never Stopping. Let's get this right, guys. This is a professional podcast.
All right. And now for the 10, I have two outliers that I'm just like, they're not there. I'm not going to name them, but you'll know them when they don't get said. All right. Beginning with 10, Star Trek Beyond. Number 9, Alice Through the Looking Glass. Number 8, Ghostbusters. Number 7, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. Number 6, X-Men Apocalypse. Number 5, Independence Day Resurgence. Number 4, Angry Birds. Number 3, Jason Bourne. Number 2, Finding Dory. And number 1, Captain America Civil War.
I believe it's the Angry Birds movie.
The Angry Birds movie.
You were doing so well on everything else. I felt the need to...
Can we go re-record?
Yeah, we're starting over. Okay.
Number 4, the Angry Birds movie.
Okay, we'll cut all around that in post. You'll never know that happened. All
never
right.
know that happened.
That's staying in, as is.
Okay, good list. Good list. Okay, I'm going to read another. I'm going to read a submitted list from Alan Aguilera right now.
All right.
Okay. Alan has as his dark horses, Warcraft, Now You See Me 2, Alice Through the Looking Glass, and for his 10 through 1, he has Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising, Star Trek Beyond, The Secret Lives of Pets, The Angry Birds Movie, Suicide Squad, Ghostbusters, Finding Dory, Independence Day Resurgence, X-Men Apocalypse, and Captain America Civil War. Okay, so that was Alan Aguilera's list. Okay, let's go to Jose. Jose, what's your list here? What's your dark horse?
I have for my dark horses Jason Bourne, Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising. Sorry, Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising.
Thank you.
And Angry Birds in my dark horses. And then starting from 10, I have number 10, Central Intelligence. Number 9, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Autos. 8, Independence Day, Resurgence. 7, Alice Through the Looking Glass. 6, Star Trek Beyond. 5, Suicide Squad. 4, Ghostbusters. 3, X-Men Apocalypse. 2, Finding Dory. And 1, Captain America Civil War.
Okay.
Solid.
Let's get heavy now, guys.
Yeah, seriously.
Hey, like me now. The heavy. I'm going to read Maxwell's list. Maxwell had it. Here we go. His dark horse is Ghostbusters, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Warcraft. His top 10, Alice Through the Looking Glass, The Secret Lives of Pets, Jason Bourne, Star Trek Beyond, Suicide Squad, X-Men, Apocalypse, Angry Birds, The Angry Birds Movie, his number 3, Independence Day Resurgence, 2, Finding Dory, and 1, Captain America, Civil War. Okay. Okay, Mark, let's get to you. What's your top 10, or your dark horses?
Okay, so my dark horses, I've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Out of the Shadows, Ghostbusters, and the BFG. And then for my top 10, I've got Ice Age, Collision Course, number 9, Alice Through the Looking Glass, 8, Star Trek Beyond, 7, Jason Bourne, 6, The Secret Life of Pets, 5, X-Men Apocalypse, 4, Suicide Squad, 3, Independence Day Resurgence, 2, Finding Dory, and number 1, Captain America Civil War.
All right. Well, I guess
pins right. and needles here.
Have all the 1s and 2s been the same so far?
Mostly? They were until I read Peter Parris's list. Here we go. Okay. his dark horses, The Conjuring 2, The Angry Birds Movie, and X-Men Apocalypse. Here's his top 10. Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising, Ghostbusters, The Secret Lives of Pets, Alice Through the Looking Glass, The BFG, Jason Bourne, Suicide Squad, Civil War, Finding Dory, Independence Day Resurgence. That's Peter Parris' list. The one change so far as far as number ones. All right.
Whoa.
Here we go.
Okay.
Dark Horses. Warcraft, Central Intelligence, and Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising. 10, Jason Bourne.
Hold on.
Okay. I'll send you this list. Don't worry.
I know. It's just so far, there's no crazy picks from Abe, so that's that guy. Yeah. No, Money Monster, Dark Horse.
That was gonna go in, but that's coming out this week, so it's not.
No, it comes out the week after Civil War.
Bad Moms.
That's gonna go in later. You'll see.
Okay, 10 Jason Bourne.
And number 1, Ben-Hur.
9, The Angry Birds Movie. 8, The Secret Life of Pets. 7, X-Men Apocalypse. 6, Star Trek Beyond. 5, Alice Through the Looking Glass. 4, Suicide Squad. 3, Finding Dory. 2, Captain America Civil War. 1, Independence Day Resurgence.
Oh, okay. Aha. Uh-huh. What was 3? Sorry?
3 was Finding Dory.
Finding Dory. Okay. Typing these in very quickly. I'm going to read Scott Mendelson's list now.
Okay.
Here we go. His dark horses are Alice Through the Looking Glass, The Angry Birds Movie, and Conjuring 2. Hmm. His top 10, Central Intelligence, Star Trek Beyond, Jason Bourne, Ghostbusters, X-Men, Independence Day Resurgence, Suicide Squad, The Secret Lives of Pets, Civil War, and Finding Dory.
It's pretty good.
Man. I love this year. All the lists are so different.
This is it's pretty wild. God, I should change something. This is my last chance right here before I lay it down.
Just go ahead. Actually, you should do it because the odds are in our favor. Then.
I don't think that's how that works. Yeah,
it's not. I don't think that's how it worked in the Hunger Games.
Oh no!
Bloopers are just going to be everybody going. I should have changed that.
Oh, I just moved my cursor. And I did it. Okay, I'm going to do it right now. I'm saying it. There we go. All right.
Aaron
okay.
Did it.
Here we go.
Lock it
last
in.
List from me right here. Dark Horses. I have Central Intelligence, Warcraft, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Out of the Shadows. My top 10 picks. Here we go. I have Ghostbusters. Number 10, number 9, Star Trek Beyond, number 8, Alice Through the Looking Glass, number 7, Jason Bourne, number 6, X-Men, Apocalypse, number 5, The Secret Life of Pets, number 4, Suicide Squad, number 3, Independence Day Resurgence, number 2, Captain America, Civil War, and number 1, Pixar Don't Let Me Down, I have Finding Dory.
Mm, all right.
Wow.
Boom. Okay.
All right.
So I will say, what? Okay.
That's a bull stick.
We got
Are you the only one that picked Finding Dory?
Scott did. Scott and I have picked Finding Dory.
2020 hindsight here.
Abe and Peter have gone for Independence Day, and the rest of you schlubs have gone for Civil War.
Schlubs.
Can the audience listen to what you previously changed before you changed?
I mean, we can talk about this now since we're done with the list.
Yeah, we're done with the list.
I mean, we're
going to in-depth talk now.
That's the change I made. Because I initially had Finding Dory at number 1, and then I started looking at these pre-release numbers of Captain America. It's going to make $190 million in its opening weekend.
In one
crazy.
Weekend, yeah. Right.
That's a lot of money.
A lot of dough.
But Finding Dory, it's a huge, and I've bet on Pixar before and I've lost. I've also bet on Melissa McCarthy countless years and lost. So I don't know what I'm doing with Ghostbusters.
I believe that you bet on Brave 1 year and it didn't work out.
I bet Brave being more than Amazing Spider-Man and that didn't work out.
Yeah,
not like by leaps. It was, you know, I had that at 4th.
But here's what I'll say, because I was the Independence Day pick. That's kind of my Jurassic World pick, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I was looking at when Avengers 2 was released and when Jurassic World was released, and it was kind of released more or less in the same months, and I was pretty surprised by how much
what?
Jurassic World was released in June.
That was early June, and what was the other?
Avengers 2.
Oh, Avengers 2. Avengers is beginning of May.
Right. Yeah. So
got a month.
You know, we'll see what happens, but I wouldn't be surprised if Finding Dory destroyed everything.
Well, like before Toy Story 3, Finding Nemo was the biggest Pixar movie ever,
and now
you have a sequel to that movie. Like, that's my logic right now. And it's, you know, it's G. It will probably be very good. And
people love Ellen.
And it'll be the movie that everyone can easily go and see throughout the summer.
Right.
Yeah. Like, that's
multiple times, maybe.
Right.
Yeah. I get the logic, yeah.
And Secret Life of Pets, that's the same way, too. Where that's why I put, that was the one of the last things I put in. I took out Turtles from, like, the bottom and put Pets in because I just realized I've been doing pretty good on some of these picks on those ones. Like Minions. Or like Maleficent, or movies that just take their like original ones that just take off. Same with Suicide Squad, for that matter, which is a whole other beast, which could easily screw us all.
Yes, but I think we're all thinking Guardians, right? That's the Is that but, that was my
thought is it looks fun. That's what I have. It's the only, it's one of the few like of these movies that look fun. Like X-Men doesn't look fun to me, honestly. Like it looks like another X-Men.
Well, here was my thing with Suicide Squad is right before it is Jason Bourne.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I feel like there's
one of the two is gonna succeed.
One of the two, but I feel like Jason Bourne's like a big return. It's Matt Damon as Jason Bourne there and Paul Greengrass together. It's been a while. And it could be huge, and that one's going to, I think it'll last if it's but at least decent.
I with wanted that, to fit with, that in there
I
so
I mean, with
bad.
That logic, Alice and X-Men come out the same day.
But the Bourne series is well-liked. I mean,
anticipated. You have it in your number 9. You think it's somewhat anticipated?
Yeah.
Right, I mean, I have Alice in mind.
Did like, what, 300 and something?
Yeah, I did 303 in the spring.
I don't think this is going to be anywhere near as big.
That's why it's the worst one on this list for me. I have no idea what Alice.
The hardest one to place.
Right, but what's a big fall for it though? It goes from 350 to what, like 200, 175? That's still top 10 material.
It is. That's why we all have it. I think all of us have it in our top.
Right. 10. I have it at number 9. So.
Yeah. It will make money for sure, but I have no idea what the carryover is compared to like, you know, the years that went by, Johnny Depp's stock not being so high, and just the fact that Alice isn't a very good movie that I don't really see.
We didn't think it was a very good movie, but the box office numbers show that like a lot of people must have.
Well, it falls into that weird category of giant box office hits that no one seems to care for. Like same with like Transformers. That's a different scale, obviously, because that's Transformers. It's the summer. But I mean, it's like these movies where like they make a ton of money, yet no one seems to be a fan of it. Like the fourth Pirates movie, that movie made the most of all the Pirates movies, but no one likes that movie.
Yeah,
like nobody. I that doesn't even seem facetious to me. Like it just seems like who's liking Pirates 4? Yeah. Everyone saw it apparently.
I have people over like every other Friday to watch it.
You're the one.
You call it Stranger Fridays?
Yeah.
Stranger Fridays.
Yeah. Question for everybody here. Angry Birds movie. I've heard it on varying places.
Dude, Juggernaut. That is a marketing machine. They got shirts, games. Kids love it. It's the first kids movie, first animated movie of the summer. I mean, nothing around it's going to stop it from making money.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
I do.
That looks like nothing. I don't have that anywhere in my dark horse or my top 10.
I don't see it happening.
Just watch
guys.
Out. Angry I mean, Birds. kids go crazy for Angry Birds. It's stupid. It's like,
have you seen that trailer? It's awful.
Yeah, they're not great.
Yes,
and I've seen it in rooms.
I've heard people
kids.
Laughing like crazy in there,
haven't.
A lot of star power in that movie too. Same thing with Zero Life of Pets.
Not
but hey,
really, not star power. I mean, there's Jason Sudeikis. Sudeikis isn't selling. You know,
Bill Hader.
Those are funny people.
To SNL reunion.
They're funny people we like, but that they're not people that put butts in seats.
It's not a movie I'm looking forward to, but you can't deny like the family aspect, the kids of it.
I think
it's gonna linger around too. I don't think it's just gonna come and die. I think it'll be lingering till like Finding Dory,
which is only a few weeks after that.
For it to do damage. It's also over the holiday. Is it? It's got a holiday weekend following it too.
It's
yeah,
the week for Memorial Day.
Where
you have other movies that kids will see coming out. As well as
I mean, I think parents are more likely to take the kids will want to see, you know, Angry Birds before Alice Through the Looking Glass.
That Angry Birds does not. I would say like 100,000.
I agree with Brandon on that point. I would say kids that play Angry Birds often will likely want to see Angry Birds.
They weren't old enough to see the first Alice and don't care about the first Alice. And I really think it's a easy take a group of kids to a movie thing and they'll want to see it.
Angry Birds still a thing? I mean,
go to like a department store or something. There's like crap everywhere. They have stuffed animals. I mean, it's bigger. We're older. We don't understand it.
To me, it's like that's the game that people were playing back in 2010.
And then it went to kids, and kids just go crazy for it.
Angry Birds 2 came out last year.
There's so much merchandise for Angry Birds all over the place.
Angry Birds, Star Wars, Angry Birds, like all the themes. Like it's beyond
merchandising.
It's that kids movie that, I mean, we don't want to see it. We don't care. But, I mean, I think the youth, it's going to be the strong, like, kid demographic movie.
What number did you have it at, Jose?
I actually only had it as a dark horse.
Yeah, Brandon.
I had it at number four. I have a feeling I pushed hard. I mean, I maybe should have put it a little lower, but I'm like, you know what? I'll leave it there because there's a chance that the thing could be just like, you know.
Well, I'm not criticizing a dark horse pick. I thought you were trying to say that it's going to be like top five or
no,
something.
No, Brandon.
I have it in my top five.
Brandon has
it. I think it has a lingering power. I think it's got a strong open with like kids. As the first kids movie of the summer, there's nothing else that you can take kids to really freely.
You keep seeing Jungle Book.
Yeah, you keep
seeing Alice. Yeah, I mean Alice. I mean it's a PG Disney movie.
There could be scary things in it that people won't want to take to kids. Yeah, if it's a PG.
But I think Disney knows how to market these things better than Sony
does.
Well,
we'll see. But Sony's already got something that's pre-branded on a movie coming to him.
Alice in Wonderland's it's a really old story.
Yeah.
It's a sequel to the insanely popular first Alice in Wonderland.
I don't know. I'm just saying don't count out the Angry Birds. That's all.
Hold on.
It has potential to be very strong.
That which is fair. Now, with that said, what about Secret Life of Pets? As far as animated,
that's going to be big.
Like I that with the whole it's one of Universal's animated movies. It's not the Lorax.
Not the Lorax, but they are always branding it as hey from the guys who brought you Despicable Me and the Minions.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And so that already has a built-in audience as well. And I think that it's really well. They come in part. One is released in May. One's released in July. I feel as though that's enough time for you to go and take your kids to another
as far
movie.
As the animated movies go, they're spaced out very well.
Yeah.
The right. Angry Birds is, May. Finding Dory is mid-June. And Secret Life of Pets is July. But, July, there's nothing else coming out for kids at that point after that. Like
BFG.
That's the week before Secret Life of Pets.
It could still be going strong.
It could, how about this? How crazy is that? Where most of us do not have
a weird one.
Steven Spielberg movie coming out on July 4th weekend.
Yes.
Not like an automatic top 10 contender.
I see it doing very well, but I also maybe not top 10 well-ish.
Yeah, I don't either.
Right. I feel critically it's going to do well.
Yeah, I have no doubt that a Steven Spielberg adaptation of a Roald Dahl novel is going to do well.
So I looked up The Adventures of Tintin in research for it, and that didn't do as well as I remembered it.
Tintin made money over that. It's over it
going was, going domestically.
Tintin
domestic.
Was basically a foreign film, and was, like coming to the U.S. is like, all right, well, we'll get you here too. But like Steven Spielberg, he knew what he was doing by putting that movie out.
Yeah.
It came out like in October, November, before it came here, like around Christmas. Like,
well, Secret Lives of Pets also Ice Age comes out not too far after it, and those movies, aside from the last one, have done really well.
They've done well internationally. They do amazing overseas. They've made less every single time.
Yeah, but I mean, domestically they were been close to 200, and then the last one was 150.
The
so
one before that was 160.
I didn't look what came out around the time. But it could that be the downtrend, or could it just be a hiccup and it's back up again?
I feel like it's on the downtrend.
I think it's the downtrend.
But even if it's on the downtrend, I still think it can make the top 10. I have it at number 10.
Right. I just don't.
I had it as a dark horse in case. I'm like, you know what?
A dark horse should the dark horses?
I just think there's too much stuff coming out for it to be to make a dent.
But it could dent Secret Lives of Pets. That's the thing too.
Yeah.
That's a fair way to put it, unless Secret Life of Pets, people really like this new thing and they're tired of seeing Ray Romano, everyone's favorite Ray Romano.
Right.
Mega blockbuster star Ray Romano and Dennis Leary. They're tired of these old characters.
Right. That was one hesitancy I had with Secret Life of Pets. I'm like, yeah, people could be tired of Ice Age, but it could still do well and then put a little hold and stop on Secret Lives of Pets. There's a possibility of that. So
it's possible, yes. I mean, but that applies to every single other action movie that's on this
true.
List, which we don't seem to be talking about too much.
I'm just making myself feel better for having Secret Lives of Pets in my dark horse and not in my top 10.
And Angry Birds is number 4.
You all mostly have Civil War as your number 1, and yet there's it's week after week of action movies coming out. You're not talking about the hold that those movies have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd actually like to get into X-Men Apocalypse, because that seems to be at different places on people's lists as well. And
most of us have it right in the middle.
I think we all have it in the...
Only Peter has it as a dark horse. The rest of us,
I might have it the highest.
You have it... You and Alan has it at number 2. Which I think is insane.
that's pretty high.
The thing with X-Men Apocalypse, I think I lowered it since doing this list. But I think what it has going differently for it compared to Days of Future Past is that movie was like the Fast Five of X-Men movies, where you combined all the cast members from old and new together.
Yeah.
This one, I don't know what it has to really cement it as, you know, doing that again. I mean, it doesn't have Hugh Jackman, at least not in a, you know, starring role, which which is a huge factor, I think, in these movies.
It at least has his hand, maybe.
It has his hand, maybe. Yes. Yes. And it also has maybe from Arrested Development. That's a lie. But like,
it's got the same effects used on his claws.
Like, I don't know. If anything, I feel like I should have lowered it even more, because I don't know what the I'm going basically off good faith from the last one, because the last one was the biggest one. But that came with a certain reason. Like, there is popular storyline.
Here's another thing. It's
Deadpool's
now
the same thing, isn't it? The same world.
Yes, but that's kind of an anomaly. Like, that's not. I don't call that. Like, it's hard to call that an X-Men movie.
I think it adds to it, though.
Yes, to a point. But I mean, X-Men marketing's not saying from the creators of Deadpool. They're saying we're the director of X-Men and X-Men Days of Future Past.
That's a fair point.
But here's also too. We have before when we had X-Men First Class as the lowest grossing one, and it didn't have Wolverine and stuff. It was also like Jennifer Lawrence, star of Winter's Bone, at the time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we don't know what effect her star turn had on Days of Future Past.
It helped. Now, like, it didn't hurt.
It helped, but it also had Halle Berry back. It had Hugh Jackman back. It had all like, oh, we're combining these worlds. So it had that. So you can't really gauge what it was. This might strengthen that. I don't think it does as well as Days of Future Past, but I don't think it does poorly. I think it still probably does pretty well.
Yeah, which is, that's I think why we all have it
kind of in the middle.
Kind of in the middle, like it, because it's a weird, because it does like you're saying it. I think it's largely that Days of Future Past thing throws off the scale as far as X-Men movies go. I understand, yes, Mark, Deadpool's within that universe as well, but that also throws the scales even further off, because it's like it's a side tertiary character that has like almost no connection to the actual X-Men of this universe. It just happens to be set in the same universe. This one, it's like, it's Apocalypse. Who's Apocalypse? Oscar Isaac. What's Oscar Isaac done? He was the side character in Star Wars.
He's Poe Dameron.
That's something. They're not, you know, you don't really know that unless you follow these movies. The geeks know that, but no one, it doesn't say Oscar Isaac is Apocalypse. You just see a blue guy that hopefully doesn't remind you of Power Rangers. Like, it's weird. Then what you
have. They said it for Power Rangers 2017.
What's left? Jennifer Lawrence. That's what you're saying, right? That's a good poll right there. I mean, she's, and they're essentially putting her as the kind of star of this, along with, you know, Magneto, who may or may not lift something heavy, and the person.
You have a return of Cyclops, Storm, and Jean Grey,
played by people you've never seen before.
But those familiar characters,
which is also what they're kind of banking on, seeing
Wolverine's hand.
Yeah, Wolverine's hand. Nightcrawler's back. Not Alan Cumming. But I'm excited.
One of the things is X-Men does have a built-in audience, and then you have to kind of compare it to the other built-in audiences. And I think Star Trek Beyond, we all have this a little bit lower now. I think people are a little bit less excited. Jason Bourne is in there. It's kind of hard to say where that's going to end up.
I had Bourne higher.
I think he's going to be huge.
Bigger than both of those.
Currently, I agree with you. I think X-Men will be bigger than Bourne.
But personally, I don't think it's going to be bigger than, say, Suicide Squad or Independence Day. I think those are going to be bigger.
Yeah.
I think with Star Trek Beyond, it's difficult to gauge. Because if it, Into Darkness went on a downturn. But even this one taking a further downturn is still making, like, the same amount that, like,
$200 million.
It would still be over $200 million.
Yeah.
But it's the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. Does that bring a little uptick, or make it or even out?
And you have it at number 10. Like, so it's
I had
like,
it at number 10.
So like the logic of that, which is I think of the like, because we don't do the numbers, we don't try to predict numbers.
Right.
But thinking of the logic of that, if it's number 10 and it makes $200 million, that's insane. That means the summer is ginormous, because the 10th movie made $200 million.
Had it in there. I didn't want it to not be in my top 10.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought too. Peter doesn't have it at all. Now, he's not even as a dark horse. He doesn't even think it's going to make it that far. I disagree. But it's like, it's crazy to think Star Trek would either be that low yet still make $200 million.
I think we've yet to see the bigger mark. I think they're waiting for some bigger movies, and then they're going to push the 50th anniversary.
It's only had one trailer that most geeks don't seem to like, and that most general audiences are probably okay with. Like,
they released some pictures this week. It was like,
oh great!
Okay.
I honestly forgot that was this year.
Yeah,
when I made my list, and then I went over when I was looking over the calendar again, and then I was like, there's a Star Trek. And it just
was written by Simon Pegg.
What they want to do is they want to stay as far away from like the temp, you know, find their own ground between tentpole like comic films and stuff and Rogue One news is what they're probably trying.
Pretty much, stay away from superheroes, stay away from Star Wars.
They don't want to be compared to Star Wars.
Come out after Comic Con. I mean, so it's like they have this like this prime spot in July, which is a great spot for it. It's where like the Nolan Batman films came out. Like it's not doing bad by words.
No, yeah,
right now. But
I want to talk about Ghostbusters.
We need to talk about Ghostbusters. My favorite Tilda Swinton movie. Let's go for it.
I have it as a dark horse. I don't think it's going to make the top 10, but just couldn't ignore it.
So I'm going to go over some things that I was looking up, and then like I guess some articles put this out even further this week in the ether. I was aware of this to a point already when I was putting the list together, where I was looking at YouTube, and there's movie trailers have YouTube likes and dislikes. Yep. Most trailers. There's rarely a trailer you find that has dislikes that outweigh the number of likes. And generally, the number of likes very much, like, the ratio is very – it's a very big gap between the likes and the dislikes.
Yeah, it's like 1% of them are dislikes.
You know, you get, like – I was looking even at Fantastic Four had more likes than dislikes, and it was a pretty wide margin. Ghostbusters has, like, 200,000 likes and 500,000 dislikes. That's
the most disliked trailer ever.
In YouTube history.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, that's just the internet. Like, that doesn't necessarily, a specific crowd of the internet.
How many of that 500,000 are still going to see that movie?
Probably a good portion of it. So, there's a lot of things to consider when that comes into play.
To be fair, these are also the kids that are making fun of your mom on Counter-Strike who are 10.
It's that
and probably have 8 alters, and they're just blowhards trying to.
I don't think the little kids really account for much when it comes to Ghostbusters. I think it's the adults that are weird.
Right, it's against for nostalgia.
It's the mix of nostalgia and the weird thing about like women can't be Ghostbusters and that never should change.
So you're saying it's that 50 years old are disliking the trailer?
Yes, I am. I am, Abe. Or people that were teenagers in 1984 when Ghostbusters came out and are now in their like 30s or 40s. There's a weird contingency there.
Yeah.
With that said, on the other hand, Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy, they sell movie tickets.
Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, and Paul Feig getting back together for the first time since Bridesmaids.
Paul Feig has continued to make money with his movies with The Heat and Spy.
And the winning smile of Chris Hemsworth.
And Chris Hemsworth is basically added value. I mean, that's that would be considered as far as he goes. And whatever other things come out in the marketing.
I think there's a built-in audience for this, and I do think it will open fairly well. But what's gonna need for it to have legs is for it to be good. And to be honest, and I'm speaking partially my own personal feelings, the trailer didn't captivate me. I was very excited about this movie when I heard about it. I like all those actresses. I like Paul Feig. I was open to the idea of this, reboot or remake or whatever. I guess it's just a remake. But when I saw the trailer, it saddened me. It didn't look funny. And it's possible that there are a lot of jokes and things in the movie that just don't come through in the trailer. But it didn't give me the optimism that the film is going to be good.
And I think it falls into the same category as Star Trek right now, where they just haven't really started marketing the movie much yet. They gave us a trailer that was underwhelming. I agree, and I think the same about Star Trek, where it's just like, all right, there's one of those.
Right.
But just wait for their next trailer that will probably spoil cameos just to get excitement up.
Probably, but no, Mark, I see what you're saying, and I agree. With that in mind, I would say Spy did not sell me on that movie at all. Now, keep in mind, Spy.
But
also,
that was good.
It was very good. Yeah. But also, Spy didn't crack the top 10 last year.
That's correct. Right. So that's the caveat.
But what you mentioned at the beginning, Ghostbusters is a brand, and it's not just a brand. The Ghostbusters symbol is one of the most widely recognized symbols in the world, that along with like the bat symbol and a few other things I can't think of right now.
The Prince symbol from artist formerly known as
this
Prince.
This is a movie series that only had 2 movies in the 80s and then like various animated TV shows and whatnot since then. But somehow that brand is persevered.
And so, I think it's still selling Ecto Cooler.
They're bringing back Ecto Cooler.
They're bringing it back.
Yes, they are this summer. So if
they had a video game like 2 years ago,
which was
like
great. It was a lot
original.
Of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
They got the cast back. It was a fun third person shooter. Trapping ghosts.
Yeah, I can I ask a sort of a general fun question?
No. Yeah. Moving on. Brandon. No. Yeah, Jose, what do you want?
What worries everybody? So what's the thing that you kind of... So here's... This is based off... I felt like I had to put Central Intelligence in there at 10, only because it's... I mean, that's The Rock and Kevin Hart, right?
Yep.
Right.
And I guess I should have double-checked the numbers. I didn't really do that this year. But I just feel like it has the potential to be huge because San Andreas ended up, what, 9 or 10?
It was in the
top 10. That's an action movie.
It was pretty big.
It's Central Intelligence is an action comedy. People like
it. There's a lot of action movies. Yes, and it's The Rock with Kevin Hart, who I think has proved that he can open or make a lot of money, at least, though he usually does it, what, like January?
They are both actors that get people to go to the movie theaters.
Yes.
Right.
And I think there's also a... one of the big things that happened last year, or that happens, I think, every year, and we need to stop thinking of it as a surprise, is that something will captivate audiences of color, be it Compton or the Fast and Furious movies. And I was trying to find something this year.
Straight Outta Compton captivated the masses.
Everybody.
That was everybody.
Right. I was trying to look for something that I think along those lines that I thought could crack in there. And I thought I had it as a dark horse, and then I thought, maybe it'll sneak in. But that's the one I think that I felt like I had to be in there, but at the same time worries me the most out of all my picks.
I mean, it's for that movie specifically, it's a dark horse I have. I wouldn't be surprised if it does better. I wouldn't be surprised either. If things come true in the way that I don't want them to, Alice is a giant flop, and then Central Intelligence is probably the movie that gets into that spot. But I do see it as that kind of thing, Jose, where it could be a film that kind of it hits a different factor that some people seem to may not want to consider.
Turtles. Turtles like at 9 or 10 or
Back to Turtles. Yeah. Turtles there's some interesting stuff about Turtles. But like Scott's with you cuz Scott has it in his number 10. He's been talking about that movie since seeing the trailer about how it can probably cuz it's one of the only original films coming out this summer.
Right.
And as in not a sequel, not an adaptation. And it has The Rock and Kevin Hart, who are both people that sell movie tickets. And San Andreas is a great point, Jose. That was on the top 10 last year.
I was surprised.
Some of us predicted it, I believe.
I did, yeah.
Regardless of quality. I mean, Mark, you hated that movie, but you still had it in your top 10.
I predicted it before I saw it. Yeah.
I know.
But I did predict that. I'm not predicting Central Intelligence. And I won't be surprised. If Central Intelligence happens to be a big hit, it won't surprise me. But I just, given what's coming out and, I had to put, like, I'm looking at the comedies and there are only ones that really are, there's Ghostbusters, Neighbors 2, and Central Intelligence. I actually didn't put any of them in my top 10, which is a little bit shaky because there's usually some comedy breaks through. But I just couldn't fit a comedy in with all the other stuff, so.
I mean, even the comedies, like, of straight comedies, it looks like Neighbors is, like, the only actual, like, comedy.
Yeah,
Central Intelligence is an action comedy,
and that was my choice for 10.
Ghostbusters is an action comedy. I mean,
I was trying to
Secret Life of Pets.
I feel like that's like animated,
that's
like more family
animated. Yeah. Right.
It was like it hits a different cat. Same with like action. Like same with things something like Suicide Squad, which looks really funny.
To Jose's point, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and then I also would like to chat about The Conjuring 2, which. Some people seem to have in their dark horses as well.
With good reason. But let's talk about Turtles also.
I almost did, yeah.
Turtles broke the top 10 back in 2014, begrudgingly for some people.
right.
It was not great.
I didn't mind it so much. Regardless, the sequel's coming out. If the first one was like number 9 of $191 million, how bad are those bad reviews and thoughts on the first one going to affect it? And I think of this because Transformers has never got, I mean, only the first one got good reviews, and then everything else has been, like a pile of garbage as far as what people think of them. Yet they still make an inexplicable amount of money. This Turtles movie, regardless of what you thought of it, this time around is adding Bebop and Rocksteady, Casey Jones, played by social media activist Stephen Amell.
Yeah. That dude has a following.
Tyler Perry as Baxter Stockman. Like, there's a lot of things going into this that make me think this could
Krang.
Krang.
Do you think it could be bigger?
Well, it's hard for me to think that a movie that makes $191 million the first time around doing the bare minimum to kind of get it right, quote unquote, can do less by adding all these things that people like about this brand and make less money. Yet I still moved it into my dark horses. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's in my dark horse.
It's got everything people who have been going to, like, the big Ninja Turtle fans, if they're, you know, out there, want in a movie. It's like them saying, like, okay, here, everything.
But,
sorry.
But are those fans making up a giant portion of moviegoers? Right. And are they going
to
show up?
Or are they still perturbed because the turtles don't look like they like them to?
Well, I mean, that could make a difference, though. Like, they all, like, saw it. They're like, all right, we saw it this one time. Are we going to do it again? It's more of this that we didn't like the first time. Like, does that happen?
I think while people didn't like the first one, I think the characterization of the turtles was actually a high point for most people, even that they didn't like it. So maybe they'll take a better adventure. Or if this movie wasn't, like, obviously reshot and cut up to death this time around, I don't know. William Fichtner is definitely not Shredder in this one.
Yeah. It's tricky. It's just like the trailer. It's tricky. Yeah.
It's one you don't want to take your finger off, but, like, you could see it just shy of the top 10.
It's one of the last ones I moved. But again, it's like, well, how much money could it make? Like, like, in my logic, if I don't even have it in the top 10 anymore, I'm thinking somehow it makes less than $190 million, which, or if it makes more and I put it at number 10, that means it's like $193 million movie at the number 10 spot, which is insane.
See, my feeling was it barely made the top 10 in our list. And so this year, I feel like it would do a little bit less. So that's why I put it in my dark horse.
But why do you think it would do less? That's what I guess that's what I wanted.
I just feel like, I mean, it's sort of like generally sequels do less. I mean, it's every once in a while you have an anomaly by like Pitch Perfect, but it's not usually the rule that the sequel makes more than the original.
Yeah, it depends.
Or the movie before it, however you want to. I know it's not. I mean, there's been several.
Things have changed in times, though. I mean, like every Fast and Furious movie keeps making more. Like, they're on seven of those.
Speaking of which, it's Conjuring 2.
Okay, so you want to talk about Conjuring 2.
And
Conjuring 1 didn't make the top 10 of the year.
It didn't make the top 10, and it was well-reviewed, so that's why I'm curious why some people have it as... I don't know. I don't remember if anybody had it actually numbered, but I did hear it in the dark
Scott
horse.
Scott has it as a dark horse. Peter has it as a dark horse. And that's it, I think.
So nobody numbered it. Okay.
Nobody numbered it. No.
That was kind of surprising to me because horror, summertime. I don't
Annabelle.
Think it's gonna crack, like, yeah.
Well, that's not the summer, but.
Well, no,
but it did make a lot of money for just being tangentially connected to The Conjuring.
Yeah.
Conjuring actually did not make the top 10 in 2013.
Yeah, we said that.
Oh, okay.
It got close.
Just barely, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, and my logic, I mean, my thought on this is that it's horror, I think it will start strong for sure. I think Conjuring 2 will have a big opening, and it will probably be very successful, but I don't think it will be like a film that will keep making that money to really get it going. Also, Conjuring 2 comes out the same day as Now You See Me 2, which was also like on the outskirts of the same year of that summer. They were both at Now You See Me was number 14, Conjuring is number 11, and Warcraft comes out that day, which brings me to Warcraft.
That's gonna bottom out, right? That's gonna just.
But some people Conjuring had 2? It. Who had it in their dark?
Abe and I have it as dark horses. Alan has it as a dark horse.
You're talking about Warcraft or
Warcraft?
Okay.
My opinion of Warcraft is it's going to be one of the big bombs in terms
of how much
it costs to make and then what it's going to actually make. I have another bomb that it hasn't even come up, but I can mention that later.
We'll get to Tarzan. Warcraft. I don't know. Like I think the same logic that's going into the Angry Birds argument, I think, is also applying to Warcraft. I think there's a giant brand awareness for a movie like that.
They still have a ton of players that play this game.
Well, it's not old. Like they keep releasing new versions of Warcraft. Right.
Yep. So I agree that it's not going to be a hit among maybe all the mass audiences, but. The niche audience are going to come out to see it, you know, first couple weekends. And
I think more than just the niche audience, I think there's a level of curiosity. I mean, I think Universal is certainly investing in a level of curiosity from people.
Yeah.
Not enough for me to think it's going to be a top 10 movie as much as I want Duncan Jones to succeed at
this. I love Duncan Jones. Yeah.
But
I'm waiting for that for my dad at the end of the movie.
I guess what holds me back from this and Angry Birds, for that matter, is that it is a video game movie. Like, it's hard to be...
Basically, right?
I can't invest myself in video game movies anymore. Like,
yeah, I have three words for you.
I'd say that it's more fantasy.
Yeah, Ratchet & Clank was a low-budget movie that came out in very few theaters at the end of April. That movie was never going to make money.
Yeah.
I'm not comparing it to Ratchet & Clank. I can compare it to Prince of Persia, which made a lot of money.
Or Hitman, which was, what, last year?
Yeah. Bert's budget made a lot. It made its money.
I mean, there's nothing like Hitman Warcraft made, like, coming out million. This summer, right? There's
fantasy,
no other, like, medieval
action?
Fantasy.
Right.
Nothing of that nature, no.
So there, yeah. I mean, it could fill that groove, but I don't... I'm not in the sect that would know the excitement for Warcraft. So
Warcraft,
I guess I'm
to your point,
there.
Brandon, I don't know how long its legs are. Like, I really don't think it's gonna.
Well, that it depends on word of mouth. Like, we have to. It depends on if the movie's good. Like, that's the determining.
The hardcore gamers that are hardcore Warcraft fans will probably go see it, hate it, badmouth it, whatever, because it's not like my game in this way. You know, I don't know. Who knows?
So we'll see. Was there anything of other?
There's plenty. We could talk about Alice more.
No,
I have Independence Day really low compared to some.
Let's get
to,
okay. Let's talk about Independence.
That's our Jurassic World pick, right?
For most of us, pick. Apparently, except for Jose.
I feel like I don't feel a lot of excitement from people. Unless, I mean, there was a little bit more after that second trailer.
The trailer's been doing well. There's a lot of viral marketing going around. I think continuous Jeff Goldblum pokes fun at people for realizing.
If this thing had Will Smith,
it'd be over gigantic.
So there's that one little link missing, but.
It has the lesser Hemsworth brother, right? I mean,
yeah,
I feel like
vanilla.
Guys on the podcast right now, this movie was custom made for you. You were 10 years old when the original came out. Now you're the age you're at. It's nostalgia. This could be huge.
Oh, as far as my excitement goes, I'm more excited than I thought I would be from the nature of this movie. I'm very curious.
I was 14. Mark, thanks.
that was close though.
I was 10.
Year was it?
Independence Day was my favorite movie when I was 10 years
old. I loved it when I saw it.
Four or five times in the theaters. Saw it opening night on Independence Day.
I was six.
I had the VHS with the holographic cover thing. Like I was all about Independence Day. I have like the photo book somewhere still of it.
It was a movie I was really big on around the time, but I didn't hold on to.
Okay, I've held on to it.
I
watch it all the time.
Every
July 4th. I love watching Independence Day. It holds up to practical effects.
I was
effects.
Six, so I really saw it more.
And
on
Roland Emmerich is back as director. That's also right?
Major. It's got Roland Emmerich. It's got It's got box office legend Bill Pullman. It's got box office. Box office legend Judd Hirsch.
Box office draw Vivica A. Fox.
It doesn't have Will Smith, and that's something.
It has
but
some
I,
kid that you never see before as his son.
With a photo of Will Smith.
I think this movie is built on special effects anyway.
It's got Goldblum in a spacesuit. I mean, he's just troll. He can just troll the audience all day with Goldblum doing Goldblumisms while walking around with aliens.
he's gonna beat you over the head about recycling for Utopia bottles.
Silliness aside, yes, Jose, go for it with your pick, but I do think Independence Day, regardless of Jurassic World, I think just the nostalgic value of that movie, of the first movie, and now, you know, seeing it now, will help. The only the thing against it would be the idea that it's not like Independence Day Resurgence is something, you know, necessarily new as far as what you're seeing on screen, where Independence Day was. You haven't seen blockbusters like Independence Day back.
I think that helps it. That's the same thing. That's the reason why Jurassic World, because people had seen it before and now they're relying on that.
With Jurassic World, it was, you don't see anything else dinosaurs. Like outside of Jurassic Park, like there's not many other but there's plenty of movies that blow up lots of giant monuments around the world. Like that's not a new thing at this point. Or giant space battles or what have you. There are other things about it that I do think are the reason why most of us have it very high. But I do think if there's any competition it were to have, it's because of that kind of factor. Like I'm gonna see Civil War, which will have lots of, you know, things getting blown up in it, or, you know, any other
X-Men Apocalypse.
X-Men looks exactly like Independence Day in that respect.
Right.
I probably should have swapped that with Ghostbusters on my list, to be completely honest.
You have Ghostbusters pretty high. You're banking, yes, I do. Banking hard on that one.
I think that brand is stronger, basically, I think.
Yeah.
Brandon, you mentioned Matt Damon being back for Bourne a couple times. Let's talk about Bourne.
Yeah, I I think that movie's going to be huge. People, the trailer got people really excited. It's something people have been begging for, and they'll forgive the Jeremy Renner thing that
happened.
That's
what I wonder.
They already got the bad one out. It was like, yeah. You know, that they went strong for three movies. They did, and then they went right back to, you know, Matt Damon. People have been waiting for this. I mean, they were waiting for it before they got Jeremy Renner. They were wanting a fourth
so
Matt
Damon.
You have
it all the way at number three. You're like, you're banking hard on Jason.
They're banking hard.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I think the movie will withstand Suicide Squad. I think Suicide Squad can come out and do well, but I think Jason Bourne will still be popping pretty good at the time. Plus, we don't know. It's weird because we shouldn't judge the DC movies as a whole collective since they're like filmmaker movies, but you don't know what the general audience is that didn't like Batman vs. Superman go, oh, well, maybe not Suicide Squad. I'll wait for Suicide Squad. Yeah, I'll wait to hear what people say.
I mean,
you know?
I think what Suicide Squad has going for it is that it doesn't look like other things.
It doesn't, but
it
there's a
feels like factor. A separate entity.
And it feels like it's going to have that Guardians push. Not necessarily making it the biggest movie of the summer, like Guardians was, but
people
Guardians
loved was... Iron Man. Did they go to Incredible Hulk?
What?
Back in 2008? People loved Iron Man. Did they turn out for Incredible Hulk?
How's that related?
Similar brand. They're different movies. I don't know.
I would say that there's a difference there in that. The 2008, the atmosphere for these kind of movies was a lot different.
Right.
Where you didn't have this kind of established branding for everything. This is something new. Whereas this, at this point, we all know what superhero movies look like. And I would say Suicide Squad looks a lot different than every other superhero.
What if it's not good?
That won't help. But I can't worry about that. I have to worry about what marketing has showed me right now.
And technically, you could say that about everything that we're talking about. Is what if it's not good?
Right. So true.
The only thing that you
could be tired of Bourne.
The only thing you can kind of say it probably is good is Civil War because it's already come out in other parts of the world.
I think Dory is probably you could probably bank on Pixar making it at least an okay movie. Like, does anyone think Dory's going to be like, I don't know, Cars? Like, does anyone think it's going to be like?
No way.
I don't think it'll be like Cars, but I will say that
if it's decent, then
didn't excite me. It looks like they're just sort of like doing similar stuff.
It at number two.
In general audiences, that's all they need.
That's similar stuff that you still think pretty high.
I think huge, yeah. But is it going to be like Toy Story 2?
Good.
I'll have to wait and see.
Me and Scott hope so. It's number one on our list.
We'll see if you get burned again. Was there somebody who had Popstar on their list?
I had it as a dark horse.
Okay.
Just saying it could do, I'm not saying top 10 well, but just like very well.
Okay.
On its own.
I
admire that pick.
As much as I'm like, that's fun to say.
That's it. When I got on the podcast and everyone was like, oh no, it was supposed to be something that might make your top 10. I was like, well, I had Popstar on there. Yeah. So you're welcome, Andy Samberg.
Yeah.
So yeah, there is that flop that we didn't talk about, Mark. Tarzan.
DOA.
$180 million.
Yep.
To make it. Oof. I mean, right there is a problem.
Yeah. And I don't know if audiences are going to turn in droves for Stellan Skarsgård's kid running around as Tarzan.
I mean, there's no Phil Collins song in this one, so that's...
You don't know that.
That's true. I don't know that.
I do like the idea of like, it's not an origin story, which is, thank God, it's like, we could just finally just see.
Yeah.
We're not seeing the Wayne parents get murdered in Tarzan. We could just start with him being, like, it's him as Tarzan telling a story kind of thing. And, you know, Sam Jackson's in there. That's always fun. Margot Robbie's apparently a hostage the entire movie, so yay, girl power on that one. Good job, guys, for Tarzan.
Guess who the villain is?
It might be Christoph Waltz, I'm not sure.
I think Alexander Skarsgård should have just saved his abs for, like, Magic Mike 3 or something.
It's not like he can't do both.
He's going to team back up with Alex Pettifer.
None of us think Now You See Me 2 is going to break the bank, huh?
No.
A hit, yes.
The first one didn't crack the top 10, did it?
No, but it was a surprise.
It was a huge
after,
and I think it did pretty well on, like, home video.
It's a very likable movie.
Yeah,
it's that movie you're like, oh, I can't wait for the next one. You're like, okay, that was solid.
Yeah,
moving on.
You know, another movie nobody mentioned was Pete's Dragon.
Yeah,
yeah.
It comes out
so late. It's like
second week of August.
Right.
It's a hard one to think that's going to make $200 million.
Haven't like, really seen a whole lot of marketing for it.
Because it's late August. Yeah, that's why. Same like Ben Hur, which is the end of August, which you know
nobody
also
is
it's Ben Hur
like that.
You say Wanted and Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunters Timber Bekmambetov is not going to make a huge hit out of Ben Hur in the middle of August. Like that's not
fair. I actually kind of really enjoyed Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Shut up, babe.
The origins of the Falcon? Come on.
What I mean, so we haven't said anything about Civil War, by the way, which we're just.
I think that's because
it's a given. It's top three. Well. It's a given.
Right. It's all gonna do well. It's gonna do. Yeah. It's gonna. Critics already love it. It's already certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, and I don't think that there's really much question about how well it's gonna do for how long it's gonna do.
Now, if this was Doctor Strange, we'd be like, well.
Well, it's because I'm looking back at like the Marvel movies that have opened the summer for the past few years. So last year was Avengers: Age of Ultron, which we rightfully assumed would be number one. It's not stupid to think that was the case,
right?
No matter what, I don't regret that decision. I mean, Jurassic World, most of us knew it would make money, and it just it was this crazy thing where it made all the money.
But, I saw all your lists and got mad.
But Avengers 2 is like that seems like a gimme. Iron Man 3 from a couple years ago was all of our picks and we were all right. Like that was that didn't change. Like we all had that correct.
Yeah, I think that was the year we did predict the number one correctly.
We all of us did, and there were no buts about it. That's what happened with Iron Man 3. So it makes me wonder, where does Civil War fall in all this? Like, will it be just the de facto Marvel win because it has great reviews already, much like Iron Man 3, regardless of what you think of Iron Man 3? It had great it was in like the 90s on Rotten Tomatoes. Like it did well. People liked it. It made $409 million. So Iron Man 3, no one was really complaining about that.
It's not a jump change.
No.
Yeah.
Like, does Civil War do the same? Like, it already got great reviews.
Iron Man 3, Captain America 3.
It's tracking huge. It has Iron Man in it. That seems pretty good for it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's, introducing... It's Spider-Man introducing Black Panther, like...
Yeah, Spider-Man, I think, is a big thing. And it's basically Avengers 3, right? I mean, and everything but name and
Thor and Hulk, yeah.
It's tricky. I was flipping around back and forth with Civil War and
Finding
Dory.
Are you doing a Ninja Turtles joke, tricky?
No, I'm not.
No.
But Finding Dory, man. I'm sitting here arguing about Finding Dory.
I was flipping those two back and forth as well.
If Finding Dory had Buzz Lightyear in it, maybe.
Says it doesn't.
How do you know he's not going to be there? They're going to go to Pizza Planet.
Pizza Planet? Let's see. Anything else we can talk about as far as the... this lineup of films we have going here, I think we've sufficiently covered.
We covered a lot of it.
We're all confused about everything.
Right. That's the biggest takeaway, Jose. We're all confused.
Moving on to December box office predictions.
Assassin's Creed. over Star Wars.
Over Star Wars.
All right, well, unless anyone wants to list any crazy regrets they might have had that they can't change now, I'm going to move on to get some feedback.
Feedback.
We love having listeners to the show, and listeners are happy to provide various answers to the questions that we ask on the podcast every week. Yeah, and so we've got a few questions that we asked here and over on our Facebook page, facebook.com/outnowpodcast, and we're going to read those now.
Yeah, first question we asked everybody, what are you expecting to be the biggest movies of the summer? So for our audience members, Alessandro wrote Captain America Civil War, Finding Dory, X-Men Apocalypse, Suicide Squad, Independence Day Resurgence could also be huge considering how well Jurassic World did, or it could flop. Manish writes, I think Finding Dory could be huge. Independence Day has potential to be big, but also flop hard. Justin writes, Captain America and Finding Dory I think will kill it. And lastly, Adam writes, Captain America Civil War, X-Men Apocalypse, Independence Day Resurgence, Suicide Squad, and Jason Bourne. So nothing really out of the ordinary from our listeners.
Unless, except for the thoughts on Independence Day possibly flopping.
Right.
Which, who knows? I don't
remember. Hey, I'm banking on it, sort of.
Well, I'm banking super hard on it. Yeah, next question we asked everybody, any movies this summer you think will be big surprises? And Manish writes, I'm rooting for Pete's Dragon.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is a Disney remake of a film that...
the issue with that one, though, is because it is coming out too late and our thing ends the first week of September, even if it is a big hit, it doesn't even have enough time to gain enough for our little, you know, picks.
Unless it just makes that much money in its opening weekend.
$600 million.
Unless, if there's like a news report that like the dragon died the week before that comes out, everyone's going to race to see that movie.
Wasn't it last year, Straight Outta Compton, I think, ended up in... at the time we did it at 10. Well, it kept rising. It ended up being like 7 or something. Yeah. I mean, it was even bigger than we had, you know, once we cut the thing off. So it's kind of, I think if Pete's Dragon is a hit, it will have to continue making money.
So we'll have to see how that, I mean, to be fair, Straight Outta Compton did make the, like you said, did actually make the top 10 despite coming out in like mid August.
Pete's Dragon. It ultimately beats San Andreas and Mad Max. Yeah,
it's Pete's Dragon, mid August. Who knows? It's not an R rated drama. Like it's a PG, likely PG film that everyone can see. If it's any good, you know, that might bode well for it.
Yeah.
Next question we have is, what movies do you expect to flop this summer? Justin writes, I think Ghostbusters will do reasonable. People will want to see it, much like Jurassic World. I think Sleeping Beauty, Legend of Tarzan, and Sleeping Beauty. What?
Question mark there.
Maybe he means Alice.
Maybe Legend of Tarzan and Warcraft will do reasonably well, but in the big picture fail. Alessandro writes, Legend of Tarzan, Warcraft, Ghostbusters, and Star Trek Beyond probably won't do as well as expected, and I'm actually a big Star Trek fan. Alessandro is, I'm not. Let's be clear on that. Tyler writes, the ones I'm most confident about are Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, opens the same week of Secret Life of Pets, and Ben-Hur. Adam writes Star Trek Beyond. April writes Ghostbusters. Manish writes Tarzan has lowest weekend. Manish writes Tarzan will have the lowest opening weekend record written all over it. And Spencer,
I think Tarzan will still make money, but I mean, it just costs so ridiculously much that
I don't know if it'll make money even though. Like it'll
well,
like.
What do you think if you had to say how much money it's going to make?
Tarzan?
Yeah.
It'll probably do like Lone Ranger. It'll probably like bottom out at like 80 million.
Oh, yeah, I don't even think it'll make that much.
So you think even lower than I?
You think even lower than Aaron? What?
People will still be going to Independence Day, and then there's the BFG. Like, it's like, where's he going to make his money?
There's all these other things. Lone Ranger made $89 million, by the way, domestically, on a $29 million opening. So, and that movie had, you know, people in it, and a brand, and Jerry Bruckheimer. What does Tarzan have? It has the name Tarzan.
It has abs.
What did Tarzan do? He's written by the
same
guy.
They should call it Tarzan Lord of the Abs.
Tarzan. What's that Tarzan at this point? He's from the guy that wrote John Carter, box office smash. Like, what is it?
Yeah. I got a question. Is Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates an uptick for Zac Efron after We Are Your Friends?
It's an uptick after Dirty Grandpa. Although it's basically the same movie, just less De Niro.
But right.
I kind of liked We Are Your Friends.
You get out.
The box office didn't.
But I read somebody was like, oh, it's basically Saturday Night Fever for DJs. And I was watching, like,
it's that, you know, terrible.
I started watching around the first 20 minutes of it, and then there was an animation sequence, and I was like, no. Not doing this.
There's a character in that movie named Squirrel, and he dies, and we never actually we never learn anything about him, including his name. So I just assumed that the Tarzan says Squirrel. Tarzan, because I'm looking at it on my screen. The gravestone says Squirrel on it. It says Squirrel, August 2015. Like that's because I don't know who he is. I don't know who this character is. I'm supposed to be emotionally invested in because he died, but you know, it just says Squirrel.
Will Tarzan and Mike and Dave combined be able to make the top 10 list?
Combined?
No. Combined.
No.
That Tom doesn't even know.
Mike and Dave, what's
Mike and Dave's going to make like $500,000.
No, it'll probably make like 30. Like I can see it making like 30.
30,000?
30 mil. 30,000. It'll open to like 10. Like, but yeah, with Tarzan, that's still what? Like 130 maybe at most?
Yeah.
That's not top 10 territory, son.
Yeah. By the way, Spencer wrote Star Trek Beyond.
I said that.
Oh, did you?
Right. I did. You said that.
We'll check and post.
A lot of Star Trek hate on this one. I think that's all reaction to the trailer, by the way, too. People don't really...
From the director of Step Up 3D?
From the director of Fast and Furious.
That's right.
You're getting your Justins and
Johns.
No,
I'm getting my Justins wrong. Yeah,
John Cho did not John Cho, John M. Chu did Now You See Me Too, no intentional rhyme, and Justin Lin, which did Star Trek Beyond, starring just John Cho. No, yes, you have the that's why I can't write off Star Trek. It has a Fast and Furious director behind it. Like, he's going to make a poppy, entertaining movie.
I feel like it's going to be fun. We'll see.
And I think Simon Pegg, who knows this world enough, along with whoever else he's collaborating with on writing, like,
Don't worry, folks. Simon Pegg apologized for that trailer.
He did.
He did.
But they're also getting away from the mystery box stuff and just going back to, here's a movie, that is what it is. Like,
they're going to actually, be trekking in space.
Yeah, it'll be a standard Trek adventure. But standard Trek adventure doesn't necessarily mean box office De Niro.
De Niro's in this?
Yeah, De Niro's in it. He plays another white
angry
alien.
Boxing coach.
He plays another alien that's covered in makeup so you don't actually recognize who it is, so you don't really care. Like Idris Elba. It's like, oh, Idris Elba's in it? Where is he? He's the white alien. Oh, okay.
He's Shere Khan.
Yeah. I feel like I still would argue for Warcraft and why I think it could do better. But you guys argued so hard about Angry Birds, I feel like I didn't do anything for Warcraft, but whatever.
Go Duncan Jones.
Jose, you still around? You still here? You gotta go.
I'm here, but I think I'm probably going to head out.
You want to head out? This would be the good time. You want to go?
Yes, perfect.
Okay, well, Jose, where can people find more of your work online?
You can find me on The Young Folks, contributing occasionally. And if you want to hear me tweet random things, follow me on Twitter at Jose Cordova, which is just my name.
Any podcast stuff happening?
I'm trying to get something into the works. We finished up when Agent Carter ended. That was the last one that I was doing regularly. And I think that show is done now. So probably won't come back to that one because there will be no show.
You're not going
to
start up a Preaching About Preacher podcast?
Preaching About Preacher. No.
You can take that. I'll give you that one for free.
Okay. I'm putting it in the bank, whether I use it or not.
I don't give them up. I don't give them up very often. So if you take it, you better take it.
Okay. No, but
just you, Jose. Not you, listeners.
All right. All right. Yeah. All right. No, that's about it right now. Yeah.
All right, Jose.
Young folks. Cool. Always fun to be on, especially for this one.
For sure. Yeah. Good luck to you. Not really. We want to win. But no, it's good having you on the show, man.
Thanks, Jose. See you.
We'll see you again.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
All right. The rest of us, now that Jose guy's gone. Just kidding, Jose. Good to have you on the show. Let's
You do that joke every time.
And it's always killing.
Whoever leaves, we know that you will talk about them.
I say it, and I just know that, you know, Manish and Adam and Justin, they just like fall back in their chairs, legs are kicking in the air, just cracking up at that joke.
I can count on it.
Okay. Let's. That was feedback.
Feedback.
Let's do some Out Now Quickies.
Tim?
Each one out now, we'll be talking about those other movies that are doing these Out Now Quickies.
Tim? That's pretty good.
I nailed it.
Spot on.
All right. Since we've done the, you know, we've kind of reversed the show around, we'll just, you know, let's just go over some various movies that we've seen recently just to kill a little time, because why not? We like having fun on the show, right? We're having fun?
Yeah.
Talking about these movies. Did anyone else see Keanu? I know Abe and I saw Keanu.
I wanted to get to it. I didn't make it.
Yeah, I want to see it, but I have not seen it yet.
Okay, well, Abe and I saw Keanu, and this is the film starring Key and Peele, you know, Jordan Peele and Keegan-Michael Key. They play cousins. Peele's character, Rel, recently got into a breakup and found a very cute kitten who he names Keanu to help him get over it. But of course, as these things tend to happen, gangsters have come and catnapped his kitten, and now they work to pose as undercover gangsters in order to to rescue their kitten from the clutches of Method Man and other gangsters. Abe, what did you think of Keanu?
I thought it was hit and miss. There were some very funny parts, and there were some parts that I thought dragged out for too long. And ultimately, I felt as though it was it reminds me of the SNL movies where it's a skit that is made into a movie, and I think it works better as a shorter skit. And I'm not going to say that I didn't laugh, and I did laugh at pretty uproariously at some parts. But for the most part, I think that they were kind of stretching on some things, and they dumped a lot of strange plot twists into the movie where I kind of didn't see them coming. But at the same time, it's a comedy, so it's not as though I'm looking for Oscar awards in this movie. And in the case, the cat is extremely cute, especially with the do-rag and the gold chain.
It feels like they couldn't have, like, there's no way you cannot think the cat is cute. I think they nailed that aspect of the film.
They
sure
did.
Internet loves cats.
Even people that don't like cats, the few that are out there, I feel like this is the kitten that you could have chosen that will, like, win anybody over as far as that cat's concerned.
It's the Haley Joel Osment of kittens.
I know people that don't like Haley Joel Osment.
As a six-year-old?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm kidding. I don't know anybody who would not like Haley Joel Osment as a six-year-old, as Forrest Gump's kid. Regardless, I agree with you, Abe. I do think the film's pretty hit or miss. I wouldn't quite... It is a kind of a one or two joke premise. So it's basically an extended skit of sorts. That said, I was really hoping it'd be more MacGruber than something else, where I think MacGruber is a film that like approaches an idea with incredibly silly eyes and kind of maintains it, because I think the characters, they hold on to it the whole time through.
They do.
And I think it was, is it Akiva Schaffer? It's either him or
Yorma. Yorma Taccone.
Was it Yorma?
Yeah, he
from Lonely Island, he directed that. Yeah. They co-direct Pop.
Co-wrote it.
They co-wrote it, but then they're co-directing Popstar this summer. So for me, MacGruber, like that kind of nailed what it was doing. I'm not saying it's perfect or amazing, but I do like what it did, and it did sustain itself throughout its runtime for me. And it kind of nailed this kind of parody of action films, which is what Keanu's trying to do. What I was looking forward to with Keanu is that Key and Peele, their sketches, they do a lot of like action and thriller type spoof stuff. Right. And there's a keen cinematic eye in those sketches. Like they shoot it widescreen. They have the right cinematic filter going on to like make it really resemble the kind of thing they're parodying. And this movie, like in its opening sequence, it does that really well. Like it sets that up. And it doesn't hold that momentum throughout. Like I agree with you. It is hit or miss. There are some sequences. There's one sequence involving Anna Faris
that was really long.
Yeah, that goes way too far.
And the jokes don't really.
The jokes don't make you think like, man, this scene was totally worth it.
And I'll also add that in terms of stoner comedies, I think that Pineapple Express does a better job. And also Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle is a better movie.
Well, here's two reasons why on both of those, because I agree with you. I think Pineapple Express, I think David Gordon Green did a fantastic job directing that movie. It feels like an 80s buddy comedy. Harold and Kumar, in addition to being a comedy, it has some intriguing social commentary going on.
Right.
It's something I was disappointed with Keanu about, because on Key and Peele, they have that. They go into kind of like race culture.
I haven't seen the show as much as you do have.
I have, and they go into like race culture and various other things that kind of talk about kind of cultural differences and whatnot in a very insightful way that's also very funny. Yeah. None of that's in Keanu. Like you don't have that there. It briefly kind of approaches that by talking about where Key and Peele, like where they grew up versus where they're going, but that's it's very minimal.
That's kind of the extent of it.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I'd add is both those movies that I named, they have a better plot. It's more focused.
Yeah, one is about two people going to White Castle.
Yeah, no, but...
as specified in the title.
While they have some side adventures, those side adventures don't deviate from them getting to White Castle. As ridiculous as it sounds, this one they have side adventures, and it's really crazy. Like it kind of just goes really far left field or right field, and they drive it back, but the things that drive it back aren't that strong, like a Louis Guzman joke or something like that.
I mean, the things they work in, they're just they parody action tropes, which is what I liked, but the filler in between that stuff, like we mentioned the Anna Faris thing, like it just doesn't take it far enough. So hit or miss is basically the best way to put it.
There you go.
For me, it was still more hit overall than miss. Like, I still would say, like, hey, this was fun.
I'm 50-50.
I wouldn't say race out of the theater and see it, but I would say if you like Key and Peele, you're going to get some entertainment out of this. Like, if you suddenly saw, like, oh, there's that Keanu movie I never saw, you probably have a good time with it.
So you're saying Dollar Theater?
Dollar Theater's fine, yeah.
I'd say kind of Blu-ray.
What I'm waiting for is when Substitute Teacher comes out.
Yes.
That's going to be great.
What do you think, A.A. Ron?
It's got that Liam Neeson's.
Yeah, which they make a joke of in this movie.
Mark, what recent movie have you seen you want to get into?
So I did see Sing Street, which is
the
movie from John Carney. He did Once and Begin Again. And it was a story about a guy who basically wants to impress a girl. It's set in like 1985. So it has that sort of like 80s aesthetic. And
he's a young kid. He's like a high school kid.
Right. He's a young kid, and he's trying to impress this girl. And so he forms a band simply to encourage her to be in their video. And it's wonderful. The movie is filled with lots of great songs. They actually have original songs that are actually kind of offshoots of actual 80s hits.
Yeah, they're all influenced by things like The
Cure. Totally. So there's like a
mix. Duran and, yeah.
Right. There's like a mixture of like old songs as well as new songs. The new songs and the soundtrack. The new songs are really good. So that's what makes the drama really great. It's not the most original film, but I think it's very sweet. And I really enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was quite... I mean, John Carney, actually, he's... I mean...
I know you like Begin Again quite a bit.
I liked all of those, yeah.
I loved Once. I was okay on Begin Again, but I still like it, but I was less on it than Once. But yeah, this movie was like, this is what I really liked about Once. It kind of has a down-home kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
Kind of takes away... like. Go on. I'm sorry. I don't want to rag on Begin Again.
No, that's basically it. There's some really fun songs in it.
Yeah,
I really enjoy it.
Question for you, Mark.
The Riddle of the Model, and it totally sounds like some song from like the 80s that maybe Duran Duran or
Drive It Like You Stole It among the other songs.
Drive It Like You Stole It.
That sounds like an 80s song.
Anna and I will keep listening to this soundtrack throughout the summer because it's so infectiously fun.
Probably one of the best soundtracks of the year. It's kind of, the year is, we're only in May right now, but I think I'm sure it'll be at least one of the best soundtracks.
Did you also watch Everybody Wants It?
Oh, yeah. I saw that a while ago.
So
but
between that soundtrack and Sing Street, which one do you think would win?
So I would have to give the edge to Sing Street only because
it's got two for Sing Street. Aaron also chose Sing Street.
Well, they're original songs.
It's got original songs mixed in with the other stuff. The Everybody Wants Them is just he curates a nice soundtrack of songs that I like.
They're both good soundtracks. Yeah.
Both movies have the song Pop Music in it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of – I don't think Pop Music is actually on the soundtrack of Everybody Wants Them,
but it's
featured very – it's an important scene in Everybody Wants Them.
To double back on the songs in Sing Street, real quick, the original songs, what's neat is like they're written by Gary Clark, who is – he was an Irish pop star. Like he co-wrote them with John Carney. And the songs, they're written – Mark, I think you can – probably see what I'm saying. Like they're written in a way where they feel like a teenager probably wrote them, which I think is kind of clever. Like the kind of there's a basic level to the lyricism going on there,
right?
That you can kind of it's not overly done. So you're like, how did a group of kids make these songs? Like it's done with just enough kind of like an amateur-y feel, which I think is probably a hard thing to write. Like that's probably not an easy thing to do as like a musician. So I thought that was very clever.
And the little video, he shoots a video with the girl, and the video is like kind of funny. And,
yeah, the videos
and
did you see Son of Rambo? I think you saw Son of Rambo.
I saw.
Yeah. I love that.
That's a movie that would be like a good double bill of Sing.
Oh,
I think
that's a great double bill.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm glad you like. I expected you to like it, Mark, but I'm glad.
Yeah, it's the kind of movie that I kind of thought I would like, but I think I liked it even more than I thought I would.
Brandon, any movies you've seen recently you want to get into?
I saw one called Dementia.
Okay.
It's from a cinematographer called, I think it's like Mike Teston, but it's got Gene Jones, who was in the Sacrament.
The Sacrament. I've seen him pop. He was in The Hateful Eight. I've seen him popping up a lot of places lately, actually.
Right. He's someone who's just, worth watching if he's on the screen. He's very good.
It's like an older character actor. If you saw him, you'd recognize him type face.
Right. And he's just a really good performer.
He's in No Country for Old Men in that scene with Javier Bardem about the coin toss. That's a key scene
toss.
That people will likely know him from.
And it's got him and Christina Kleeb, who, I haven't seen anything but Rob Zombie's Halloween, who played the Linda character in that, which I didn't think much of. But she's actually pretty good in this, and she's also the casting director in it, oddly. But it's about a Vietnam vet who starts, getting dementia, and he gets this, his son hires this at-home nurse, and it's kind of, she's drugging him up and stuff, and he's getting paranoid. No one believes him about stuff, but it sounds kind of basic and tired, but it's really actually not. They put a nice spin on things, and it's just, good performances to watch. It's a solid, I believe I said it's solid. If it was like a TV movie, it's a really good for a TV movie. But, as a theatrical thing, it's kind of eh. But if that makes sense. But it's decent if you're bored looking for some sort of like low-key horror thriller and you're wanting something new and it winds up on your streaming, I'd say give it a shot.
Bored with time on your hands, watch Dementia. Brandon Peters,
yes.
LifeSoBlue.com. Okay,
because I mean, it was all right. I'm not going to rave and tell everybody, you know, oh my gosh, I got to see Dementia, but it was solid.
All right. Well, that was that now, quickies.
Yep.
Are there any trailers that came out that we could talk about? Snowden.
The new X-Men trailer.
That Snowden trailer came out.
There's Snowden.
Everybody watch Snowden?
No.
No? Okay. Who cares?
We'll skip that one then.
Okay, we'll save it.
Yeah.
Editing points for that one. Okay. All right, let's move. Okay, well, then I'll start wrapping up. Okay. Edit back in, Abe. All right.
I'm leaving all that in.
Fine. Okay. Okay, let's do a little Out Now Presents What's Out Now. These are movies that are coming out on Blu-ray or DVD this week, and I got quite a few here. First up, we have Joy.
Yeah, it's all right.
Mark, you love Joy.
I love Joy.
Yeah.
I love Jennifer Lawrence, so.
I just got the Blu-ray to review, although it didn't have the cool slipcover I was expecting, so I don't know about this anymore, guys. Let's see. The Fifth Wave. That happened.
Did you get the De Niro slipcover then?
No, I did not. Thank you. But yeah, The Fifth Wave. That's a movie that's out this week. We all saw that in January, I assume, right?
Rave, yeah, I loved it.
Can't wait to see the
still sixth. Making money at the box office. Surprised the Blu-ray came out. Mm-hmm. Surprised.
The Choice, which I assume was a Nicholas Sparks movie.
Yeah, it sounds like one.
Right? Pretty sure it was.
I don't know what it is.
I missed that one.
Yeah. Let's see. The Last Ship Season 2.
I've heard.
You Last Ship fans out there. Yeah. Independence Day 20th Anniversary Edition Blu-ray release. There's a whole new transfer on that one, which is why I'm excited about watching Independence Day.
You don't own it yet.
Not yet, but I will. It'll be mine, Abe. This is fun. This only got to my attention because Brandon, you brought this up. Ted versus Flash Gordon: The Ultimate Collection comes out this week, which
yes.
it is both Ted movies and Flash Gordon in one combination pack. So if you haven't bought both Ted movies and Flash Gordon, or had them separately but thought this would be great in a box set together, and talk just like that for some reason, then this is the time to get the Ted versus Flash Gordon Ultimate Collection.
Like, I get it, but I'm surprised they went through with it, you know? Like, something joking like that.
They had extra cardboard lying around. Like, we can make a box for this. Why not? We owe Seth a favor. Throw him a bone on this one.
Right.
Next up, Easy Rider Criterion Collection Release. If you're a fan of Easy Rider, and there's a few out there, I assume, Criterion has you covered with their new release of Easy Rider.
You don't have to buy that box set that they had to get it now.
Yeah, exactly.
On its own.
Let's see. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf comes out on Warner Archive Collection this week.
Mm-hmm.
Warner Archive is killing it this year.
Yeah, they got a lot of new releases. I keep trying to bring them up every time they happen. And lastly, Top Gun 30th Anniversary Steelbook Edition comes out.
30 years.
Yeah. You're old. Top Gun is 30. I got to be honest. I'm not a huge fan of Top Gun. So
neither am I.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right. Well, you're on the highway to the danger
zone. I like it. I think it's fun, but it's not great.
No. Yeah, it's fun.
All I'm doing is just biting my teeth at you guys right now, like ice, like Iceman. All right, that was out.
Thanks, Val Kilmer.
That was out now. Presents What's Out Now. Let's go to on Extremely Cool. These are movies that are now on Netflix that I'm happy to recommend, and for whatever reason, and actually because we were just talking about this, I saw it popped up on Netflix. Begin Again is now on Netflix, which I thought, oh, that's ironic.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen Begin Again, that is John Carney's follow-up film to Once, starring Mark Ruffalo and Keira Knightley, and a lot of people actually, Adam Levine, what's his name, James on the Late Late
Gandolfini?
Show. Yeah, James Gandolfini on the Late James Corden. James Corden, CeeLo. what's his name now? Yasif Bey, Mos Def's new name.
Mos Def?
Yeah. Yasif Bey has all these people in there.
Yasin, I think.
Yasin Bey. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, that's out. Also, Special Correspondence. This is the new film from director Ricky Gervais, who also stars with Eric Bana, using an American accent, so it's American Eric Bana.
that we know and love.
Eric Bana. Yeah. I've actually watched about a third of this movie, and I was intrigued so far, but I have to finish it. But I like Ricky Gervais in general, so I'm always curious to see what he's up to. And this is a
real question is, how is Eric Bana?
he's fine. He's doing American Eric Bana, so he's fine. I like Eric Bana in general. I was like, why isn't Eric Bana bigger? Like,
it is Bana, but since you said he was being American, I called him Bana.
Yeah, I mean, he's. I tend to think he's consistently very good in things, so I
like him.
I want to support him when he comes out with movies.
He was the best part of Funny People back long.
He was
ago
great
in
Funny
out.
People.
Yeah,
I like Funny People more than most, but I like Funny People.
No, he's not.
I think
he
was my favorite.
It's weird. He
might have been my favorite part of Lone Survivor, actually.
Yeah, all right, I can see that.
I forgot he was in that.
I did not like that movie, but I feel like he was good in it.
He rolled down the hills the best.
Yeah. No, he was.
He was in The Office.
He was launched.
Oh, okay.
He was.
Hold on. I did see The Finest Hours, and he's actually terrible in that. So besides The Finest Hours, Eric Bana is pretty great all around. Let's all just think about Black Hawk Down. He's a fan. He's fantastic. Everybody knows he's great as Delta in Black Hawk Down.
He was in Hannah. I know you love Hannah.
He was.
Oh,
there
yeah,
you go.
Hannah, yeah, that's right.
Boom, 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 shakalaka. There we go. Hannah. Done. Moving on, then.
He was the Hulk before it was cool.
Yeah, he was the Hulk after it wasn't. Nice, also. All right. That was extremely cool. Let's move on. Next week's show. Next week, we're talking about Captain America, Civil War. Oof. Yep, that's right.
Biggest movie of the summer.
The second biggest movie of the summer.
I love it. We got a competition.
That's right. It's Civil War, guys. Here it is. So, yeah, that's happening next week. Big show, I assume. We'll have one for you. It'll be fun to talk about. We'll go over all the crazy things that happen, like that guy doing that thing with that other guy. The punches that thing.
That was crazy. I saw that and it was wild.
It'll be a lot of Chris Farley show for that week's episode. Like, remember when Hawkeye did the thing and Ant-Man was like, what, I'm small, then I'm big again, I'm small. A lot of that. So, you know, if you've been
loving this, SNL 41.
If you've been loving this podcast so far, prepare to get indecipherable. Okay. Last thing we do here, what should people go and see now and what do you plan to see next? Mark Hoban, what should people see in theaters right now?
I would say go see Sing Street. I really like that. That's probably my pick for movie to seek out.
What are you seeing next?
Next, I'm going to be seeing Captain America, Civil War.
Okay. Brandon Peters, what should people see in theaters right now?
Everybody wants some.
Yeah.
I want some, too.
Have you seen Green Room yet? I know you're a huge believer.
I know. It hasn't. I think it might have just... Oh, I've been so dang busy.
You interviewed Jeremy Saulnier for Blue.
I know. I love Jeremy and Macon Blair.
And Macon Blair was also in Green Room.
It didn't open.
I love Blue Ruin.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Blue Ruin. I love Blue Ruin. I'm a big fan of Murder Party.
I have seen Green Room.
Were you not as big on it?
I wasn't big on it. It was okay, but not my thing. I didn't think there was enough to it. I feel like it's just like, okay, now there's 5, now there's 4,
all right,
now okay, there's 3, one after the other. It was just some good special effects, faces getting ripped off by killer dogs and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's just, it's not playing in my area. That's the problem.
All right.
Which is strange. I don't understand, but... whatnot. So yeah, I'll recommend that room just based on being a big fan of Jeremy Saulnier.
What do you see next?
Captain America.
Okay.
Nice.
Actually, I'm going to be seeing the Riff Tracks live recording of Time Chasers.
Ooh.
Before Captain America. So
I love those Riff Tracks. Those are fun.
Yeah. My co-host of Cult Cinema Cavalcade and I are going down, and we're meeting Mike Nelson and the other guys and watching them rehearse, and then we get to go.
Cool.
See the show that night where they're having the cast reunion of Time Chasers as well. Which
sounds awesome.
Is one of their best episodes was Time Chasers.
So. All right. Abe, what are you seeing? Or what should people see? One
Jungle
of
Book?
Yeah.
Go see Jungle Book. And
probably
going to check out Captain America as well as I'm very curious about the documentary Dark Horse.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm still on the Sing Street, Green Room, Swing Street. Green Street train here. So yeah, I would say see those. That's it, guys. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Out Now with Aaron and Abe. You can find more of my work on my personal blog, thecodazeek.com. You can find my written movie reviews there. Also on Why So Blue for Blu-ray reviews. And you can find me on Twitter at Aaron's PS4. Abe?
You can find more of Aaron's work over at Aaron's, thecodazeek.com. And you can follow me at twitter.com/WalrusMoose. Hashtag how the Jungle Book 2.
Well, you got your wish on that one. Brandon Peters.
Cult Cinema Cavalcade, which is cultcinemacavalcade.com, at CC Cavalcade on Twitter. And this Friday, if you're bored from 7 to 8:30 Eastern time, I'll be guesting on a show called Movie Night with JL Media. It's a live podcast coming from the theater talking about Captain America Civil War.
Very cool. Mark Hoban.
You can read all my reviews on my personal blog, fastfilmreviews.com, and you can also follow me on Twitter, Mark_Hoban.
You can find all the other episodes of Out Now, Out There, and Abe on iTunes and at Audio Boom.
You can also listen to some of our SoundCloud, Podomatic, and AJSWLOD.
Feel free to email us your thoughts on the biggest films of the summer or anything else that you might have seen recently over at outnowpodcast@gmail.com.
Answer or ask questions over at facebook.com/outnowpodcast, or you can tweet at us at twitter.com/outnow_podcast.
And feel free to take our Twitter avatars, make them into GIFs that recommend things based off the summer, and have all kinds of fun with that at our Tumblr page, outnowpodcast.tumblr.com. That'd be a lot of effort for our woefully denied Tumblr page. But,
it's okay.
Mark, Brandon, thank you for joining us both today.
Thank you both.
Yeah, as always, honored to be here.
Yeah, I liked hearing everybody's picks. I have to give you props, Aaron, for putting Finding Dory at number one, because that's definitely a little bit unexpected.
Well, Pixar screwed me in the past, but this year...
You got to give props to Scott, too. He did it.
Yep, Scott as well.
Oh, okay. But
as Scott will tell you, rank doesn't matter, right? It's not about rank.
We'll see what happens. Thanks to Jose as well for joining us earlier in the show.
Thanks, Jose.
Thanks to Peter, Scott, Alan, and Maxwell for submitting their picks on time. there's no late fees this year as far as the summer gamble goes. So, you know, all the points are all the points. I don't have to take any deductions down, so I'm happy about that. But no, this is going to be exciting, guys. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens at the summer box office at the movies. I never win this, so I'm not expecting things high for me. Abe is always terrible at this, so I'm just brooding him on so he doesn't get last place.
Totally going to win.
Mm-hmm. And we'll see where things go from there. But yeah, that's it. That's all there is. So until next time, we find out just how wily that silly, spectacular Spider-Man really is in this new Civil War universe we have going here. That's going to do it. So until next time, so long.
And goodbye.
Drums, please.
Here it is, a groove slightly transformed. Just a bit of a break from the norm. Just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix. And if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past. Adjust the bass and let the Alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run around and put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime. Sort of a buzz, but back then I didn't really know what it was. But now I see what happened is the way that people respond to summer madness. The weather is hot and girls are dressing less and checking out the fellas to tell them who's best. Riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos, or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly we be out in the park, a place called the Plateau is where everybody go. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise, honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turn around to see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac. And with a pen and pad I compose this rhyme to hip you and to get you equipped for the summertime.
That doesn't even seem facetious to me. Like, it just seems like, who's liking Pirates 4? Yeah. Everyone saw it, apparently.
I have people over, like, every other Friday to watch it.
You're the one.
You call it Stranger Fridays?
Yeah.